Hello everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. First off, the reason why I sound a little bit funky is because, well, I'm recording this on my phone. I'll be editing on my computer, but I'll explain why I'm not recording on my phone in a minute. I have to kind of explain where I have been for the last 2 weeks and why you're kind of hearing a little bit of a gurgling sound. I don't know if my phone could pick it up, but let me explain. 3 weeks ago, at least, y'all were kind of hearing that I sounded like crap. At least with the last episode or two, I sounded like crap. And there's an explanation. Is that, I was coming down with something, or at least I had something that I did not realize. During this time, I had abscesses on my head and on my shoulder blades just below my neck. And also during that time, I was not able to eat, or I should say, stand corrected, not be able to swallow food. Meaning, I could have a cookie, I could have cereal, or a bite of cereal, and not be able to swallow it. I didn't know what was going on. All I knew was that I was thirsty, and that I had to take in caloric content, or I should say calories, and nutrition in some form. And the best way I knew how to do that was with fluids like juice and like milk and water and stuff like that. That's all I knew and realized. I didn't know how bad I was. Everything came to a head on Thursday. That particular Thursday, 2 weeks ago roughly, and Big Candy stated, I am taking your sorry rear end to the doctor and we're seeing what's going on. I am not taking no for an answer. We're going from there. Turns out, while I was at that particular doctor, the first thing that they saw everything, they didn't know what was going on with that. The other thing that they did was, well, they took a sugar test and I managed to peg the needle. So they said, since I pegged the needle in regards to their sugar test, I have to go to the ER. Went to the ER because, again, Big Candy said, okay, we're going there. I'm not taking you home. The ER said, well, you pegged our needle here. We have a general idea what it could be. We got to admit you. And during the process of admission, they said, my sugar was over 600. As a matter of fact, it was over 625. The first few days of the hospital visit were a blur. All they told me during this time was they got to drain everything, they have to look at everything, and it turns out I have now type 2 diabetes. That's right, folks. Me, at 45 years old, has type 2 diabetes, and I had to have abscesses drained during this time. Well, here's also the tale. I'm in the hospital during this 2 week time being admitted. I was pretty much, I had to every so often take a lucidity test, or the doctors and the nurses and the techs had to make sure I was lucid and I was, in essence, of sound mind, which means they wanted my name, my date of birth. They wanted to know roughly if I knew what day, year, month it was, why I was in the hospital, what current president was, and so forth, so on, just to make sure I was of sound mind and lucid to make at least decisions for myself. And during this time, I had to have a psych evaluation, which means they had to have somebody, I guess, with a psychology degree to kind of question me to see if I am able to take care of myself, if I'm lying, if everything else. This particular person who gave me this psych eval, after her initial questions, came back, I don't know, 15, it could have been 15 minutes later, it could have been a half hour later, it could have been an hour later. Again, the first few days were a blur because I was in ICU. That's right, your godfather was in intensive care unit. She came back in stating, I was lying, I can't take care of myself, I won't be able to clean my place, I won't be able to do anything, I'm going to be back in the hospital at square one, and everything else. Then she leave after telling her, that's not true, I'm not lying, I could handle myself, I could take care of myself. She leaves, comes back again, not sure how long later, she comes back in, claims, I am mentally handicapped. That's right. Again, she comes back in saying that your godfather is mentally handicapped. And get this, there's no shame in being mentally handicapped or anything like that. That I'm mentally handicapped, there's no shame in it, and everything else. I told her in no way, shape, or form, I am mentally handicapped. Slacker, maybe. Stubborn, maybe. Not the brightest bulb in the pack, maybe. But no way, in any uncertain terms, mentally handicapped. She leaves. Finally, she's gone. She never came back. Again, I was in ICU for a few days to make sure I was stable and everything else. And during this time, they sent I had one doctor come in, or I should say, I had several doctors come in and talk to me. One particular doctor came in and told me that they're going to cut me to drain the abscesses. It was going to be a surgery to drain the abscesses that were on my head and neck. And there was going to be a part of this surgery, which was the other doctor coming in to inquire in regards to why I couldn't swallow solid foods. And he was pretty much there to explain why, and just the general aspects of why that they were doing the checks, which I told him I have no problems with. Everything was justified. Do the tests. You gotta do what you gotta do. So he pretty much nodded and understood that I understood that, hey, these checks have to be done just in case. They gotta eliminate everything. So a few days pass, like maybe 2 or 3 days pass, I go in for the surgery. Now, folks at home, if you never had surgery, it's a very nervous and scary affair, because you don't know what's going on, and here I was, knowing that I was going to have a tube with a camera attached to it forcibly shoved down my throat. And yes, it is scary as it sounds. I was nervous, and yes, your godfather, the epitome of wanting to be an atypical guy, wanted to be brave, be that atypical guy, was nervous and kind of scared out of his mind in some way because of, again, possibly knowing that he's getting a camera shoved down his throat. And after speaking with the anesthesiologist, or I should say, person that's going to give me the anesthetic and pretty much the gas, I roll into the OR, which was very cold, very bland, very, again, if you don't understand or never been, it can be very, very, very scary. And only thing I remember is the gas, the oxygen mask being put on me, and the doctors telling me just to inhale and breathe deep. And next thing I know, God knows how long later, it could have been an hour, it could have been 2 hours, it could have been 3 hours. I wake up in a utter fog. I'd never been high, never taken anything illegal, drugs, marijuana, or anything like that. It was just like, whoa, where am I? What the hell happened? You know, and one of the thoughts that went through my skull was the guy who delivers the anesthetic and everything else. He said, when you're on the anesthetic, you're going to give negative hex. You're going to give so many negative hex, you're not even know what's going to happen. So that's what happened. You know, I wanted to power through it. I wanted to get out of it. It's not like being drunk where you can, in essence, power through being drunk and after a while being sober. It's something that has to go away on its own. And it was a very interesting aspect of things. And I'll get into being a diabetic in a few minutes. I just want to tell you my experience in regards to what happened in the hospital. And it just, you know, it was very interesting during that time. And during that time, they took me out of the ICU. Again, special thanks to Big Candy for giving me kind of a care package and, you know, getting me a charger and a cord to charge my phone, so I at least had an internet connection and, you know, able to watch YouTube, Vudu, and everything else. Special thanks to you, sir. And yes, I'm cleaning up my my place. It's taking some time. There's a lot of cleanup and stuff to do. I'll get into that in a moment. Just that being in the hospital, and he told me, because he kind of came in to visit and everything else, he said I was a short hair away from being, because he's the one that caught what the doctor said and me being in a blur. He said I was so close to being in a coma and or dead. And he said it was scary for him because of how bad I looked. And eventually they moved me out of intensive care to a heart monitoring unit. And it was a private room. And during this time, I guess they wanted to make sure my heart was okay and everything else. During this room, I was in this room for a better part of a week. I think I was in ICU for like maybe 2 or 3 days. And I was in this room for a better part of a week. Maybe a week and a half. I'd say a good chunk of a week I was in this room. And while in this room, they allowed me to get up and move. But for the moment, they had me on, because I was mostly bedridden, they had me on a device that kind of helps circulation and imitate movement, so the body doesn't get blood clots. Not to mention they had me on blood thinner, again, to make sure I didn't get blood clots. And eventually they had me, allowed me to get up, go to the bathroom, walk around the room, and pretty much exercise and move. And during this time, I felt like a oversized toddler. For those of you with kids, you know what I mean, in regards to a toddler. Trying to not so much learn to walk, but the time after that where they're kind of a little bit off balance, but they're gaining their balance and it's a matter of confidence. And it was a matter of me just pacing back and forth, and eventually there was a physical care person that came in to kind of help me do laps around the section I was in, so I could have at least some movement and some mobility. And after that, I think during this time in this particular room, it's hard for me to say. Again, a lot of it was a blur. I had a paranormal experience happen to me because what happened was during the night, I pretty much, while I was resting, I was half asleep, half awake. I felt somebody grab my cat, like, in a, not squeeze the calf of my left leg, but grasp my le the calf of my left leg. It felt like a caring gesture. It felt gentle. It wasn't harmful or anything like that. It just, I felt somebody come in, grab the calf of my leg, and squeeze lightly. Like it was a message saying, it's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. I'm here. And when I woke up, I didn't notice anybody in the room. Now, granted, a nurse could have come in just to check up on me and, just check my leg just to make sure I was okay, or anything, something like that. But when I woke, granted, again, I was groggy. I didn't see anybody in the room. I'm near the door. Again, could have been a nurse, but for the most part, I didn't see anybody in the room. And after speaking to a tech or two, they said it's usually a common occurrence in hospitals, in regards to paranormal stuff happening like that. So, count me, I won't say count me as a believer, but count me as one of the people that had something strange happen to them in the hospital in regards to something paranormal. Now, to continue with a few things in regards to my personal stay, before we go into the whole diabetes, type 2 diabetes thing, they roughly after a few days being in that little section, they deemed me okay heart-wise and everything else, and I could go into general population. Now, here's the thing. There's a difference between Martinsburg hospitals and Winchester hospitals in the area that I live. I live in the Martinsburg, West Virginia area, and south of me is Virginia and Winchester, Virginia. Martinsburg has pretty much shared rooms. Winchester, the hospital in Winchester, it's private rooms. Now, since I'm in Martinsburg and I had to go to the Martinsburg Hospital, I was tossed in, again, general population, and well, I had to share a room. And I had to share a room with Mr. Nitpick, Whiner, Complainer, etc., 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 etc. Now, I'm trying to keep this episode clean due to the fact that I want to keep it educational. He whined and complained about everything about the food, his condition, not being able to get up to go for a walk, and everything, and wanting to be clean, not being allowed to get clean, and everything else. And it got to the point it was irritating everything from the nurses to myself. And one day, I think it was the next day, his partner, partner of several years came in and I guess brought him his cell phone. Now, I might also say two things. One, I'm also very prone to bronchitis and pneumonia. This guy had, amongst many other things, pneumonia, which is, and thank God I was probably on the antibiotics to keep pneumonia at bay, if not far away. But again, this guy, his partner brought him his cell phone, and for the longest time, he was playing mumble, very bad SoundCloud, what could be up here, SoundCloud mumble rap very loudly. Now, the thing is, you're in a hospital, you have to be courteous to the other patients. Granted, everybody kind of had the TV on all day, all night, and it was good, you know, background noise to rest and relax, and for the most part, I didn't mind it, but it was the bad rap. And this was a gentleman that was in his possibly mid to late 50s, I want to say. And the thing is, with that age, I expected that the music that he would possibly listen to would be like Leonard Skinner, Pearl Jam, AC/DC, maybe, you know, some country, so forth and so on. Maybe if he did listen to rap, maybe Run DMC, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, or, you know, somebody good, somebody decent. But nonetheless, and after maybe 24 to 48 hours of, I think I got in the shared room on Wednesday. By Friday, he decided to go AMA, which is against medical orders, and walk out. So that particular Friday, for a few hours, I was by myself. Thankfully, the nurses were happy because they didn't have to deal with his aggravating, pompous rear end and having to deal with him. And a few hours later, late that night, late Friday night, maybe early Saturday, a gentleman, a very nice gentleman in his 60s, came in. And again, I don't want to let loose what he was in for, but his condition was very serious as well. But he was very kind, and all he wanted was pudding and Sprite. So I'm going to say it like that. But when he came in, the nurses were like, oh, thank God we have easy patients here and kind patients. And speaking of that, during this time being in general population, again, I was still kind of first things first. I was, again, this is before they decided to put me on a wound vac, and I'll explain that in a moment. I was still bandaged up like not so much a World War II vet. I was bandaged up as they agreed a Civil War vet. That even when I walked the halls, all I needed was somebody next to me using a flute, and another person on the other side with a drum set, just to walk down in kind of Civil War fashion. Which kind of made me smile and lift up my spirits, as most people in the hospital for any extended time for serious needs, anyhow, is kind of the lifting of spirits. But still, they had to change my bandages and kind of drain me, in a way. Drain all the ooze. And as they were doing this, one of the nurses had to say, "Ooh, very interesting." And I'm like, wait, what? Here I am, you're changing out my bandages and everything else, and you're saying, "Ooh, interesting," and you're saying it like you're enjoying it. And this is, you know, granted, they're doing what they have to do. And it was just a very odd experience for, at least for me, in regards to that. And one of the things that they also did in regards to, I had one abscess on, in essence, right near my, it wasn't on my left temple or near it, but it was kind of near it. They put a silver strip in, which, for those who don't know, silver does help in regards to when it's done medically. Let me say it like that. When it's done medically, it helps aid in it. It has some antibiotic qualities to it, so it helps aid in healing. So they had this strip in to kind of help aid with healing that particular wound. So as it healed, it kind of humorously, it looked like I was shooting out confetti out of one part of my head. Now, I had another wound that they fixed and kind of drained and everything else by my right ear. And for the longest time, it felt like there was a hockey puck attached to that suction, because it was hard for me to see how thick that scab was. But now it's now a kind of a crescent scar, and I have a bad haircut because of all the shaving that they did. And also during this time, to kind of help heal things, they attached me to a wound vac. Right now, you can't. I don't know if you can hear it or not. There's a slight ticking. You might hear a slight ticking because it's right near the mic on my phone. And what it's supposed to do is help keep the wound, in essence, dry, and help aid healing. So that's pretty much what I'm. What's going on with me in regards to the wound vac and how it's set up? I can't really move my head left or right. So in essence, as some folks stated, I'm wearing in some fashion, invisible fashion, the original mask from Batman, the Michael Keaton Batman mask, because according to movie trivia, he couldn't turn his head left or right. But I've also been saying, for those out there, depending on your age, it feels like I have either Andre the Giant having his hand on the back of my neck, or Brock Lesnar having their hands on the back of my neck and having a very firm grip. And it's all well in course. It's me. It's part of me healing and getting better. Now, part of in regards to type 2 diabetes. As stated, one other thing that they told me in regards to me being in the hospital. They told me that I have a very high pain tolerance. And in essence, sorry folks, you're now going to hear a little bit of a breeze because I had to turn on the fan and stay cool and help prevent, keep the seal on the wound vac. So there is that. One of the things that they told me, I have a high pain tolerance. And in essence, that means I could probably take a kick to the face by a Clydesdale, get up and not give any hex in any way, shape, or form. And that's pretty much right it on that aspect of what happened to me over the past several weeks and where I've been. And in regards to what else is wrong with me, as again, I stated, I am a type 2 diabetic now. One of the things that this is glad to know now in regards to everything, because one, I'm adopted and I don't know my medical history. And you probably noticed a change in audio quality is because right now, again, my fan is on. I want to keep cool, keep the sweat off the wound in the back. And so therefore, the fan needs to be on. And I want y'all to hear me in the best way I know how. In regards to type 2 diabetes, it's not how it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. It's different. It's more treatable. It's more recognizable. Again, we have social media in regards to people getting together to share tips, tricks, healthy options, and everything else. The other thing is medication, if it wasn't for the medical plan I'm on right now, it would be extremely tough to pay for the medication because insulin is very, very expensive. The medication, let me put it like this. You could probably pick up a baseline iMac right now or the current high-end iPhone for the course of the medication. That's how expensive insulin is right now. Even
That's not including the pen. That's just the bare bones. Here's a needle. Here's, you know, here's a needle. Here's the vial. This is what you got to do. So, but since I qualify for a certain plan, I don't have to worry about that for right now. I had to pay for test strip. Pretty much what the educator said, having a daily sugar or a test aspect, or meaning that as a diabetic, you're supposed to test yourself at least 3 times a day. And during this test, if you're hitting between 100 and 170, 180 tops, you're in the normal range. You're doing okay. And also that there's 2 types of insulin. One is short acting and the other one is long acting. I'm on both. The long acting lasts roughly 12 hours, 12 or so hours. The short acting is pretty much after breakfast and after dinner. Now, from what I'm told and everything else, there's a lot of folks that if they're able to maintain their sugar levels at a low level, all they have to do might have to do is just take the long-acting insulin or just an atypical pill once a day, twice a day, or maybe once a week or once a month in regards to regulate everything. But they still have to check their sugar levels and make sure that they're still within that range. And what does this also mean for me? I know there's probably a lot of you out there that are diabetics that say, yes, you could have a Twinkie. Yes, you could have pizza. Yes, you could have, you know, that BLT. Yeah, granted, yes, a BLT and all that. But I can't have, you know, a 12-inch hoagie from Subway. I can't really have, you know, stuff that's a lot of bread and pasta. As someone growing up with Italian parent, Italian folks in the family, that's very hard because I got a little bit of love for pasta and everything else, and it is a cheap food. So there's that. I can't have that anymore if I want to be healthy. And one of the things that the doctors told me is if I want the wound on the back of my neck to heal properly and heal quickly, to them, quickly means between 6 to 8 weeks, I have to keep my sugar under 150. So far, so good. Everything's been 135 and less. So for my first week, I am doing very, very well. According to the diabetic educator, salads are very good. Tuna fish is very good. It's a matter of preparation, looking at labels, making sure that I am watching my intake and everything else, and knowing my intake. And let me say this, I have a very good baseline thanks to a mom and pop fitness center that was in my area 10 years ago. Let me explain. 10 years ago, I was challenged to lose weight. At that time, I was 300 pounds. I was challenged to go under 200, whether it be 195, 199, what have you, as long as it was under 200 pounds. Now, don't ask me how me and my stepfather and my mom found out about this new fitness center that opened up near us in where we lived at the time here in West Virginia. But we found, you know, we saw that they opened up, and why not be one of the customers at that time? And he pretty much asked, what did the folks that challenged me to lose weight say? And I said, well, they told me to pretty much lose the weight and have a 700 calorie diet. Now, the guy that, let me put it like this. Again, this was a mom and pop training center. Yes, the guy was buff, but he wasn't like someone you might see at a Gold's Gym or Planet Fitness or someone like that, that looks down at somebody trying to get healthy, trying to lose weight. He understood that people coming in might actually want to try to get healthy. And again, he said, all right, what'd they say? I told him about the 700 calorie. He looked at me, asked me what I did at the time. I told him, he said, that's a load of horse hockey. You need to be closer to, you can't do, he said, according to what you've been telling me, your daily calorie count has to be around 2,100 calories per day. He said, yes, we got to reduce that. 700 calories is way too low. You'll be way too exhausted, way too anything else. 1,700 per day is a good number to go by. That way you're losing weight and you're fitting with everything. He said, also, what I want you to do is look at your carbs and try to hit under the 30. Meaning under, if you buy a chicken pot pie at Walmart, look at the carbs, make sure the stuff is under 30, that you're not eating like Captain Crunch or stuff like that. He said, plus drink more water. If anything, have like diet soda. He said, one of the things that you're going to experience is severe sugar headaches because you're cutting back on the sugar. This is normal. So in essence, am I experiencing sugar headaches right now? Yes, I am. I'm noticing that I have headaches. So therefore, I have sugar headaches. Can I deal with them? Yes, it's part of the process of me adjusting. He said, yes, you guys stay away from like fried food, etc., etc. He said, you're allowed to have like a cheat day every now and again. And during this time of getting healthy, I was speaking to a few other people. He said, yes, your body's going to crave stuff. It's going to want stuff. So therefore, have it, but not have, meaning that your body, let's say your body wants a Dairy Queen shake. Have that shake, but don't have the large. Don't have the extra large. Have a small. Have a kid size. You know, have something that will satisfy that craving and make it go away. Or if you really want to cheat like that, have the small and have it, you know, in essence, instill moderation. That's what the aspect of eating, what the diabetic educator tried to tell me, that eating healthy, not so much eating vegan, she said I could have meat, I could have, you know, stuff, just make sure things are low carb, moderation, that way I could stay within the 150 and less, or in essence, on occasion 170 and less. So that means salads, that means I'm allowed to have salads once I get back to work and everything. I know what to go for. I love tuna fish. Matter of fact, that's one of the things I picked up today is tuna fish. So tuna fish salad's okay, regular salad's okay. I know I can, that means my local pizza shop that sells salads, instead of me buying chicken tenders and pizza off them, it's going to be more salads and healthy options. And I know occasionally when I get back on my feet, it's going to be going back to hopefully the blue and white every now and again. And doing so, I'm allowed, according to the doctor, yes, I'm allowed to have, I can't really have potatoes that often or bread that often, but occasionally I'm allowed. But for the most part, I could have at least a little bit of the potatoes and everything else. But Western omelet, you know, like a ham omelet, Western omelet, or something equivalent in regards to an omelet is a very healthy option because it has vegetables and so forth and so on. One of the things that Big Candy let me on is romaine lettuce. I don't mind eating romaine lettuce. He said it's just as, from my gathering and my tasting it and me, he said it's better than bread, meaning that in regards to bread, since I have to limit my bread use, to use the leafy romaine lettuce as a bread substitute in regards to if I want peanut butter or if I want tuna fish or heck, if I get cold cuts, use that as bread instead of bread. That way I am keeping low carbs and still having the kind of a crunch of a sandwich or having the simulation of a sandwich. So that's a good thing. I'm allowed to have peanuts. I'm allowed to have pistachios, peanut butter, stuff that's pretty much low carb. I'm allowed to have meat. It's just instead of having like three or four sausages, it's maybe one if I'm really hungry or need the boost, two. And not really having a whole crap ton of extras. I'm allowed to have vegetables, the occasional fruit. I'm allowed to have apples and pears and, you know, I'm allowed to have fruit, but again, in moderation. Granted, tomatoes are also a fruit. I love having tomatoes. Again, part of me wants to get some healthy bread and have tomato sandwiches. And onions are good for, you know, that sort of thing. And one of the things that the doctor I'm now seeing has stated that there might be a chance when I get back to work and everything else, I may bottom out, which means that, like with all diabetics, there's that chance of bottoming out, which means that instead of hitting between 100 and 100, and let's say 180 on the top end, it's hitting 70, and therefore sugar is needed. I need sugar. For the moment, I don't have any hard candy in the house. I do have a bag of frosted mini wheats, which may help for the time being. One of the things that I know that it might be I know candy for me is not healthy, but one of the things I told the doctor is that I knew a co-worker at a former job that he was having cholesterol issues, and one of the things that helped him was cinnamon balls. These are just they're, I think, labeled as like hot balls, you know, and or something that gives a lot of heat, but they're mostly cinnamon. And they helped him with his lower his cholesterol. So it's not something that I could have all the time, but I could keep in the house just in case or on me while I get back to work as a way of keeping myself from bottoming out. So it's something I have to look into and get and everything else. I'm taking insulin. It's very, again, a lot of times diabetes is, for a lot of people, it's depressing and everything else. I have a great support system, rented lips. So it's a matter of me learning to, again, once again, eat healthy. I picked up restock on the romaine lettuce, some like hard-boiled eggs, and you know, some healthy eating options today, and plenty of water and everything else to help maintain things. I know I could have sips and diet drinks and everything else, but I want to try my best to keep closer to the healthier end than the bad end. And one of the things I forgot to mention, because of being in the hospital for an extended period of time and not really exercising, or I should say walking a whole hell of a lot, my legs became very weak. And 10 years ago, a friend of the show, he's been on the show, he goes by Mad Eye Markey, gave me a walking staff, again, 10 years ago. And I thought, why the hell do I need this? Why is he giving it to me? It's not going to serve any purpose unless I'm going to be dressing up as maybe Gandalf or wizard or someone like that. I'm not going to need this piece of, you know, this walking stick or this staff. It looks cool. It is cool. I'm happy to have it and happy that he gave it to me, but I'm not going to need it. Turns out, 10 years or so later, me being a little weak and a little bit, I won't say unsteady, more so weak in the legs, it's helping me with my physical therapy in regards to cleaning. When I take trash to the curb, I won't say to the curb because my where trash pickup, or aka the curb, is about 300 feet away. So it's a matter of me using it as stability. I have to, speaking of my legs, that's a part of the aspect of diabetes is, you know, the eyes and in essence the legs. One of the things I noticed over the past 2 weeks, my eyes have gotten a little bit worse, and I now require reading glasses. Best $6 at Walmart I ever spent, and that's been helping me out read documents and my phone and everything else. Another thing is, again, I have to keep an eye on my legs and my feet to make sure I don't get ulcers and other issues and problems, and make sure my legs are kind of healthy. So it's stuff that I have to monitor and keep an eye on. It's not going to be easy, but I welcome the challenge. I am, in a way, happy to be a part of the diabetic family now. I know it doesn't seem right or anything like that. And again, for the next 2 months, I am going to be a cyborg in regards to with the wound vac. That's about it. There's a lot. I suggest doing a lot of research. If you're a diabetic, talking with the educator, doing some research, and talking to other diabetics in regards to how they're keeping healthy, how they're managing to manage. Join a Facebook group if you need be, because I'm sure there's a plethora on Facebook. I have yet to do the search myself in regards to that, so it might be a good idea. Make sure also, just in case there is depression with this, or you get bouts of depression, please, if you don't have a wonderful great support system in place to help you, there are numbers to call in regards to that. I might put a link in the description in regards to those numbers if you need to call somebody. Seek help if you need to talk to somebody, because for some people, having diabetes can be very depressing. It might feel like a ball and chain. This does not feel like a ball and chain for me. This feels like a challenge, something I could defeat, something I could beat. Granted, I may still need to take insulin and everything else and maintain, check my sugar, but all in all, I have to, you know, I'm looking at this as something I can beat, something I can overcome. But if you yourself, if you listen to this, if you hear this, please, you know, if you're going into that dark place, don't. You have support. You have somebody to call. Please call, even if it's the National suicide prevention hotline. Call them, text them. You have somebody to talk to. This is not something that, yes, it's debilitating. It is something that can weigh you down, but it's not that. It's a challenge. Look for it as that you can seek help. That being said, please, in regards to the episode, again, I'm sorry I'm recording this with my phone. It's just that in the aspect of cleaning up, I accidentally threw the power cord to my laptop out, and I don't have the funds to get a new power cord for it. So I have about enough charge on it to sew the episode together and post it up tonight for everybody to listen to. I'll probably, good chance, due to my funds and everything else, I'll try to post up as many. I don't know if I'll be able to post up more episodes in the next few weeks and all that. I just wanted to give you all an update, but due to the lack of having a paracord, me fully doing retrospective episodes and everything else will be a challenge. So, I might be taking a break until I I am able to get a new power cord for the laptop. So just wanted to let you all know that. And the fact that I'm doing well. Please, because we're going to the end show aspect of things, please stay tuned to our Twitter. Our Twitter is Longcoat Mafia. So if you want to follow us there, please do so. We do have an Instagram. Hopefully, in the upcoming months and days, I should say days, weeks, months, I'll post often to Twitter and Instagram. Our Instagram handle is also Longcoat Mafia. We do have I'm still trying recovering and everything else. Please forgive me. We still have a Facebook page. You could go there to see how we're doing and what's up and everything else. It is public. It is facebook.com/ The Longcoat Mafia Podcast. It's all one word. We do have a YouTube channel. Just head on over to YouTube and search for The Longcoat Mafia Podcast. We will probably have a video coming soon in regards to an unboxing. I might have to do it with my phone, and if my computer still has a charge, post it up real quick that way. I do recommending liking our Facebook page as well as subscribing to our YouTube channel, just in case. Because I should say, not just in case, but there are times I'll put up an exclusive YouTube video due to the fact that Facebook is a little bit short form, let me put it like this without editing. There are going to be times I post strictly to YouTube because, one, it's easiest. It's our main. It's something that I ought to maintain in regards to video format. When we do our unboxing video in the next couple of weeks or so, hopefully more to come, we'll be posting it up to YouTube. It's good for your long form and all that, so subscribe there. And we post up sometimes exclusive videos only to YouTube. But sometimes, due to the fact that YouTube is very finicky, very annoying in regards to certain policies and procedures, we'll post videos up to our Facebook page. So please subscribe to our Facebook page and like our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you like the videos you see there, please hit the subscribe button and hit the like button on the videos that you like. And once I get a new power cord, hopefully some of our, like our con interviews, I'll post up with gaming footage and so forth and so on. As for right now, we no longer have a Mixer account for streaming in regards to game streaming. With our Xbox One, we will be, I think, streaming more so towards Twitch. Our Twitch channel is twitch.tv/longcoatmafiapod. I haven't been streaming there yet. Please give me time to recover. Because as of right now, again, I have about a foot and a half long scar on my back. Or say upper back, and I need time to heal. I need to get back in the swing of gaming again, and once that happens, I'll probably be streaming, recording video, etc., 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 and doing everything that is to post to our social media. That's about it. Normally I say we have a TikTok, etc., but I haven't really posted to it. I pretty much not really using TikTok. So that's pretty much it. In regards to finding our show, we are, depending on what you use, if you use a desktop or laptop computer, we are on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and that's pretty much it. And our main website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And I must say, The Longcoat Mafia is all one word. There's no underscores or anything like that. So again, it's thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And while you're there, you can look at all our past episodes going back to the very beginning. So feel free to check those out. You could stream them on the website or download and listen to them on your MP3 player of choice on your laptop or desktop, or download it to your MP3 player of choice, whatever that may be. But if you tend to listen to us on the go, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music, and maybe a few others. But again, I apologize for the quality right now. It's just how I have to record things without using a hell of a lot of battery life on my computer. And I'll see you guys when I am able to. Hopefully, I'll be able to get a cord soon, but right now I am tapped. So I'll see you guys and speak to you guys when I am able to. So take care. This is the Reverend Godfather. I am doing way better than I was. I hope I sound better, despite the fact that I recorded this whole episode on my phone. So take care. I am out. You all be well, be healthy, and again, later.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.